Welcome back to Startup Dugout by Dell Technologies, a podcast series where we talk to entrepreneurs from India's biggest tech startups to go back to that time when. That time when you needed allies. That time when you needed sound advice and good mentors. That time when you were looking for the right tech partners who can accelerate growth. The host of this week's episode of Startup Dugout is Suchita Salwan, the founder and CEO of Little Black Book and a member of Forbes India and Forbes Asia's 30 Under 30 lists. Little Black Book, or LBB, started as a humble Tumblr blog. Today, it is India's largest online discovery platform with an objective to seek out, empower, and scale India's lifestyle businesses. On Startup Dugout by Dell Technologies, we discover how industry leaders respond to challenges in their entrepreneurial journeys. We also learn how initiatives like Dell for Startups empowers companies through innovative technology, strategic guidance, proven practical capabilities, and expert consulting assistance. Joining Suchita on this episode are Netcore Cloud's founder and managing director, Rajesh Jain, and CEO Kalpit Jain. Netcore Cloud is one of India's largest SaaS companies. They offer a full stack of marketing technology, or MarTech, solutions that help product and growth marketers deliver AI-powered, intelligent customer experiences. Netcore Cloud helps B2C brands like Tommy Hilfiger, Crocs, Hamleys, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and The Body Shop build outstanding digital experiences with a range of products that help in customer acquisition, engagement, and retention. They are headquartered in Mumbai, India, with over 15 offices across the USA, Singapore, Malaysia, Nigeria, Indonesia, UAE, UK, and Germany. And today, Netcore Cloud serves over 6,500 clients spread across more than 40 countries, delivering over 20 billion emails and 15 billion push notifications a month. It also manages a scale of 120 trillion user events a year. Suchita talks to Rajesh and Kalpit about Netcore Cloud's 25-year journey to being one of the largest SaaS companies in the market, the role of AI in MarTech, and how to build a successful Proficorn.
So Rajesh, you were one of the pioneers of the dot-com boom of the 90s in Asia with the creation of India World Communications, which was India's first network portal. Netcore Cloud, like India World, was one of your early ventures and has gone through many changes, leading the mail server business in its first 8 years and trying SMS marketing, email marketing, and so on, to now really being one of the largest SaaS players in the market. How has the journey been for you in terms of technological advancement and innovation in the SaaS space, not just in our country, but, you know, around the world?
So, Suchita, as an entrepreneur, you need to keep evolving with times. I think I recognized the potential of the internet in the mid-90s, and that was the first success. The first 10 years of Netcore, we were doing lots of random things. They didn't work out very well. And it was around 2007 or so that we made the shift to focusing on B2B, and we started with SMS and email marketing. I think the recognition at that time, and which broadly hasn't changed in the last 15 years since the pivot that we made at that time, is that marketers will basically always need to communicate and engage with their customers. And that business is never going to go away. And that was the shift that we did. And over the last 15 years, we've expanded the portfolio of what we've done. But the broad premise that B2C marketers essentially need to build deep, engaging relationships with their customers is really what is driving Netcore even today.
Kalpit, do you want to give your take on how you've seen Netcore evolve and, you know, what excites you about the future?
No, I think I've been with Rajesh and Netcore for the last 25 years. And I think what Rajesh said, right, I think you need to keep evolving with time. And the way I think marketing has kept evolving over the last many years, as a company, we've kind of thrived to you know, continuously evolve ourselves, move fast, because this is a very competitive space. You need to be moving very fast, because the expectations what our brands have with us in the way they want to engage and communicate and build relationships with their end consumers has just been changing very fast. So I think the fact that you need to be innovative, you need to be fast and early to the market, I think is the one which has really helped us as a company, you know, keep improving and, you know, evolving over a period of time.
So Rajesh, if I had to bring it back to you, right, what have been those moments of real momentum that you've seen with Netcore's business? Is there a feature that you launched, particular GTM? Was there a certain client that you acquired that totally catapulted your business? If you can tell us some interesting stories of, you know, what's really gone into making this business what it is today.
I'd say there are three important milestones in the last 15 odd years of Netcore. Even though we are 25 years, the first 10 odd years, we didn't grow much because we were doing lots of experiments. And that was the first pivot. In 2007, I hired a CEO to replace me because I realized that I'm the bottleneck in the growth of the company. And I think it's a great lesson for entrepreneurs to realize that when you are almost an obstacle for the company's growth and it's time to bring someone else in. So, and since then, Netcore has been run by three CEOs, Kalpit being the third. I think that was the first accelerator for Netcore in its growth. The second one was our expansion outside of India, which was largely driven by Kalpit. We had a few missteps in the early years. But then we realized that while we are doing very well in India, for us, expanding outside, okay, because the same products that we are building out of India could work anywhere else in the world. We started with Southeast Asia, then the Middle East, Africa, and then, of course, now in the US and Europe also. And the third one was the acquisitions that we did to expand our stack. And the biggest one being Unboxed last year for $100 million. And the driving factor behind all of the acquisitions, we've done three in the last about 4 years, was number one, product expansion, because the realization was that marketers want fewer and fewer vendors. So the consolidation of the MarTech stack was an important trend which was out there. So with Box.ai, we brought in personalization into the MarTech stack. With Hansel, we brought in contextual walkthroughs, nudges inside apps and on the web. And with Unboxed, which was a large one, we brought in the solution for solving search, for on-site search for e-commerce companies. And these have really helped Netcore grow tremendously. Because I think what happens is that you have a choice between trying to build something internally or look at the best out there in terms of acquisition. So for us, it's always been a combination of product expansion and geographical expansion. With India as the base, you know, that's been the driving thing in our growth over the last many years.
No, thank you so much for sharing that. So, you know, moving forward, I know that Netcore Cloud has been working towards an IPO listing with acquisitions like the ones that you just mentioned, right? There's Unboxed and, of course, setting up a presence in the US. Kalpit, what would you say have been the challenges along the way in your journey towards an IPO? And if you could talk to that.
No, I think as an organization, we've kept expanding, and there have been a lot of challenges along the journey. And specifically, I think over the last 3 years, we've been preparing for our IPO journey. I think one of the most important challenges is to make sure that the acquisitions which we've done, we make them successful, right? These are acquisitions we've done for a specific purpose, a product expansion or geographic expansion. So making sure that the acquisitions which we've done are really successful, we're able to hold the team together, which we've acquired, to make sure that the entire plan which we would have, you know, set out when we've kind of acquired them, you know, kind of plays out the way we would expect. So I think that's one of the most important challenge. I think the second important challenge is to get the teams aligned. It's very important as an organization that if the teams who are with the organization are not aligned to that entire IPO journey, because it is a stressful and a challenging journey, right? It does not come very easy. So are the teams aligned to really, you know, work and walk along that path is the other important challenge. And I think our teams have really, I would say, contributed, performed extremely well, when COVID hit and we had no idea on when markets are going to really, you know, come back. But I think we stood together and I think we performed really well during those times. The third one, I think, is also to make sure that we look at continuously keep expanding our international presence. While India has been one of our dominant markets, I think there's a lot of opportunity in markets outside of India. Southeast Asia, US and Europe, we all know they are fairly large markets. But at the same time, US and Europe are mature markets. So how do you continuously keep learning, you know, kind of scaling up those markets is the other important thing. So I think those have been the challenges which we've seen. And I think there's a lot more, I would say, which all of us as a company at Netcourse probably should expect. But I think those are the places where I think we all learn, evolve and grow as an individual also.
Absolutely. So Kalpit, you've spoken about harnessing the full potential of the hottest term of, you know, at least the past 6 months, which has been generative AI, specifically in the MarTech space. You've also said that it's revolutionizing the marketing industry and is not a replacement for humans, but rather an augmentation. How do you think companies can best use AI to effectively add to their overall marketing tech or their marketing strategies?
No, I think we all talk about it, and there are a lot of articles which says generative AI, ChatGPT would replace humans. I would say actually it will augment humans more than replacing. It's a very clear answer to how generative AI can continuously help marketing folks to become better with their marketing strategies. It will help them become more efficient in how they are driving their marketing strategies. And at Netcore, we being a MarTech company, I think one of the most important things which we help marketers do is how can generative AI help you create content using ChatGPT? How can it help you create creatives and designs, you know, through generative AI, ChatGPT? At the same time, how can it help you understand your users better? And because you understand your user and your end consumer better, I think you can then create those tailored, personalized experiences which every brand today wants to give to its consumers. Just to expand a little bit more on each of these, I think the other area where I think ChatGPT, generative AI really helps is to brands to, you know, look at a lot of data, because as a company, Netcore, we collect a lot of consumer behavioral data, you know, on behalf of the brands. And then how can we really look at that data and build intelligence on the data which we are collecting, which can then help the marketing person take the right decisions and, you know, kind of help them make their marketing strategies a lot more better. There are a lot of other interesting technologies on what is called as visual search. You know, there's a lot of other things around product recommendations. So how can generative AI look at a lot of the consumer data, which is the behavioral data, the transactional data, the user purchase and the intent data, and then create recommendations which are highly personalized for that individual? So overall, I think, you know, generative AI will only become a very good friend of a marketing person. It will actually help augment the entire marketing strategies which brands are trying to build and help create more personalized, you know, experiences for the end consumers.
Absolutely. So on to my next question. At Netcore Cloud, you are continuing to make strides in integrating AI to create more efficient marketing strategies and solutions for your customers. What role has Dell played in facilitating this?
So I think Dell has been our partner for many years. You know, obviously, one of the most common things which all of us use Dell is for laptops, for personal or for employee laptops and maybe, you know, servers. But I think off late, we've also been looking at some of the very interesting technologies which Dell has built. And one of the recent one is VxRail, which is an HCI large system platform, which basically helps you simplify your entire IT data center operations. It helps you consolidate a lot of your servers onto one single hardware so that, you know, you can really not worry about managing multiple servers, but you kind of, you know, put one single block and, you know, kind of you keep expanding as your needs kind of grow. So I think those are the areas where we've been looking at working with Dell. A lot of our servers out of our data center today are powered through Dell. And with some of these technologies like VxRail, you know, and on top of that, you have VMware, we are able to modernize our overall IT data center and really, you know, give our customers and our enterprises a very seamless, you know, experience on how they use our platforms.
That's incredible to hear. And with that, we'll take a short break and be right back.
It's so exciting to hear about Netcore Cloud's growth over the last 25 years to become one of the largest players in the tech field and to know that Dell has been part of that journey. Now, apart from offering trustworthy digital solutions, Dell for Startups helps companies reach their goals and defines new routes for their success. They help startups in India to accelerate their digital journey and solve some of the biggest challenges in the country, keeping Dell's core purpose in the forefront, creating technologies that drive human progress. We now head back to Startup Dugout by Dell Technologies to hear from Rajesh Jain and Kalpit Jain, about Netcore Cloud's plans for global expansion and the role of MarTech in an even more digitized post-pandemic world.
So great, we're back on the show. So, you know, you've expressed your desire to strengthen Netcore Cloud's presence in international markets across North America, South America, Europe, and also expand to other regions, whether it's the Middle East or the African continent. Could you talk to us a little bit about what really goes into creating these specific region-based strategies for customer acquisition on, of course, the brand partner side?
So Netcore started expanding in the international market in 2015. That was the first time when we really started to look at markets outside of India. Maybe a little late than what we should have done. Maybe we should have done in the hindsight, if you ask me, maybe we could have gone a couple of years before. But nonetheless, I think that's the time when we really started looking at international market. It was Indonesia was the first, I would say, market which we started looking at. And I think the first thing which we look when we're really expanding into any new market has been we do our market research. And the market research are around many things. One is, how is the internet penetration? Because a lot of what we offer requires that consumers are really hooked on to internet and really, you know, making online purchases, and e-commerce and others are growing. So I think the first thing which we look at is, how is the internet penetration growing in each of these markets? The second important thing which we also see is, what's the competitive landscape looking like? Because over the years, as we've started expanding beyond Indonesia, and now today we are there in almost 12 countries outside of India, I think there is a different competition in every market which we go. So how does the competitive landscape really look like? You know, understanding how long they've been there, and basis that, a lot of, you know, understanding is what we get. And the third important thing around the market research is the culture. You know, how a particular country operates is also very important. So that's first part on the market research. The second thing is localization. I think especially when you're going in markets outside of India, every market behaves differently. The content strategy, the marketing strategy, the GTM strategy has to be localized to that specific country. So I think that's the second important thing which we've always looked at. And that's why if you see our playbooks for each of these markets could be really different. The third is around the GTM, you know, on how do you really want to do sales, right? There are countries where you can actually recruit salespeople from India and deploy, or probably, you know, put them on site. But there are some markets where you need to recruit people from the local country itself. That is on the GTM side, you know, how do you, you know, really build a team over there? The second thing around the GTM is around which products do we want to kind of, you know, use to enter into the market, because it also depends upon the maturity of a market, right? So Netcore is a multi-product company, and we have the advantage of probably using one product in a country to enter versus a different product in a different country to enter. And the last important one is the partner and alliances. I think for any company to expand into international markets, it's important to also look at, is that market okay to have partners and, you know, resellers who can really sell on behalf of you? Because there are times when you have challenges in terms of setting up a local entity. There could be a challenge in terms of building a localized team who can speak a local language. Like, for example, in Indonesia, Bahasa is a must language. Or maybe if you're going to Vietnam, you need to have Vietnamese teams to build it. So that's where a partner and a reseller ecosystem really, you know, helps a lot. So I think those are the four key things we look at when we really want to get into an international market.
I'll just add one more to what Kalpit said. It's also the use of acquisitions, which we did in the US with Unboxed. Like for mature markets, like what Kalpit said, it's very hard to build it out one customer at a time. These are large markets. So acquisitions become a very important playbook. A company which has large customers, exactly the ones which we would want to sell to, become a very important mechanism for also getting into that market. And we've done that with Unboxed. We got a complementary product. We got access to a great customer base in the US. And then you can drive cross-sell across geos.
Absolutely. Thanks for that. And I think, you know, lots to learn across the use of localization of talent, of acquisitions, and of course, of really rendering your GTM and the tools and the suites that you have to offer to your customers based on what the local needs are. Switching gears, Rajesh, you know, you brought up this really interesting word called Proficon, which so many of our startups can learn from, right? Especially in today's scenario where you have companies bleeding money. I think a Netcore really stands for something that's core to being an entrepreneur and core to building a business. In your upcoming book, which is going to be called Startup to Proficon. You share your journey and your insights that you've gathered along the way while launching and scaling startups to inspire and guide young entrepreneurs to build good, lucrative, and really value-building businesses. You know, obviously, you defined what Proficon means. How did you coin the term? And what does it mean to be a Proficon-oriented business?
So, Suchita, we all hear about unicorns all the time. And a few years ago, when we were discussing it, one of our advisory board meetings, the quarterly meetings where we do with a few people from outside, so we get an outside-in view, one of the board members said, hey, everyone's talking about unicorns. You know, no one talks about companies like Netcore, which are profitable and growing and valuable in terms of valuation. And just sort of instinctively, I said, okay, maybe we are profitable companies, so we can call ourselves Proficons. Sort of that word stuck. I tried it out with a few others and I said, hey, you know, it's a word which grabs attention. Then when the pandemic started, I started writing, I write on my blog every day, rajeshjain.com. And then I started a series on entrepreneurship. It was more first for internal consumption. How are Proficons different from unicorns? For example, when crises break out, unicorns are very quick to fire people. While in Proficons, we hire people. Unicorns at some point of time become very fragile, as we have seen with valuations and so on. Proficons are, to borrow a phrase from Nassim Taleb, anti-fragile. You know, every crisis really makes us stronger as we go forward. So it started as a blog series at that time, and then I would send it out internally. People loved it. And that became the sort of origin for the book, which is Startup to Proficon. And in the book, the focus really is on how can entrepreneurs build businesses without raising external capital. And I've built two businesses. India World, my first company, was also bootstrapped. We got a very good exit. It was one of the largest exits at that time. It was sold for 500 crores in November 99. And since everyone likes to talk of multiples on revenue, that was 166 times revenue. And in about a month, our valuation went from 13 million to 115 million. So 9x in 1 month. It was sort of amazing journey at that time. And actually, if you think about it, 99.99% of companies actually are bootstrapped. You know, we only hear about the companies which get funding. No one talks about entrepreneurs who are, you know, raising maybe small amounts of capital from friends and family or just putting up their own capital to build their businesses. And there's a lot of value in such businesses because you have a lot of freedom to operate. The focus becomes very quickly on profitability, because there is no other source for you to grow. There's no external capital. So unless you're figuring out how you're going to make money, your business will die. And I saw that in India World, where even though we didn't require too many funds to begin with, we started doing website development in the early days to fund us. Still, advertising started picking up and generating us a lot of revenue. And a lot of others tried to rely only on traffic, and external capital actually died at that time. Even in Netcore, we focused very strongly on building a profitable foundation. Our SMS, email businesses have become very good engines, which have helped us invest in the marketing stack and acquisitions and so on. So I think the mindset of an entrepreneur becomes very different when you think of putting profits first rather than relying on external capital. And the final point really is that for a unicorn, you want to get to a $1 billion valuation. Founders end up typically owning maybe 10% of the company because you've diluted to external investors through multiple rounds. And you can achieve the same kind of wealth creation for entrepreneurs with $100 million valued Proficon, which you would otherwise have to build to $1 billion with external capital. So I think for entrepreneurs, the natural tendency everyone has is to just go out and first try and raise capital. Instead, if entrepreneurs start focusing on customers, and what's the problem I want to solve? I think they will be able to come out with a better business, you know, than one reliant on external capital. So that's the journey, and lots of stories which I talk about in my book, about from myself, some other Proficon entrepreneurs, and many questions which I've got from entrepreneurs through the journey. You know, when should I hire a CEO? When do I decide whether to build the company or sell it? What about work-life balance? What if you make mistakes? What is it like to fail? And I failed 30 times in my life. Well, there have been two big successes. So lots of these, my 31 plus years as an entrepreneur, it's all there in the book.
I'm very excited to read it. I have a follow-on question. This is something that I struggle with as an entrepreneur. How do you play the long game, right? Because, you know, when you start on day one, you don't know if it's going to be a 5-year journey, a 15-year journey, or, you know, 25-year journey. So how have you trained yourself to play the long game?
Very good question, Suchita. So I think one of the ways to think, and I'm sure you and every entrepreneur thinks like that, see, we are not building a company to sell. We are building a company because we are excited about the problem that we are solving. And that excitement needs to be there. That's what gets us to wake up, come every day as if it's like the first day of a business. So I keep describing entrepreneurship as, it's like, think of it as a highway where there are no exits. Of course, you talk to VCs, you talk to PEs, you talk to potential buyers as they come along the way. But the focus has to be on building a company as if you're going to run it for your entire life. And I think that creates a mindset where the focus is on customer problems. I think that's really what entrepreneurship is about. Identifying gaps in the market, figuring out what are the best ways our products can really solve those problems. It's not about valuation. You know, money at the end of the day is a number. There are many ways to make money. But entrepreneurs, we are all excited with the problems that we really want to solve for customers. Now, I'll give you an example. I mean, in Netcore, I'd said earlier that, you know, over 15 years, we've focused on how do we solve the problems for marketers in terms of better communications, better engagement. And if you think about it, as Drucker said, you know, marketing and innovation are the two things which will always be there. Marketing is never going to go away. I was in the US recently and I met a lot of brands and customers. And one of the things which came up is, how can you help us on the path to sustained profitability? Because the world has changed in the last 12 to 15 months. You know, there was growth at all costs. Now it is about profitable growth. And I started thinking, how can our products in Netcore help brands achieve their target, which is profitable growth? And there are some very interesting ideas that we are building on, but that's the mindset of an entrepreneur. You're always looking for the next problem, and that only comes when you're talking to customers and not spending half your time with investors doing presentations and giving them small updates on what's happening.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the business that you built and you yourself are more stories like this need to be told. And, you know, who you admire, who you appreciate and what you take inspiration from ends up impacting a lot of how you build, right? So kudos to you and kudos to more stories like Netcore, really breaking into the mainstream and inspiring more entrepreneurs, myself included. The pandemic has affected a lot of industries in many different ways, but one of the most notable impacts has been the greater focus on digital marketing and obviously expanding, you know, any company's digital footprint and presence. You've said that Netcore Cloud's email and MarTech business saw an exponential growth of over 50% through the pandemic period. So what is the future of MarTech and also Netcore Cloud, you know, IPO obviously being one of them, in this more digitized post-pandemic world?
If you think about the problems that are there, again, for marketers, what they want now, more than at any point of time, is profitable growth. And when you think about where the money is being spent by marketers, even today, a large chunk of it is spent on new customer acquisition. So what we would call as ad tech. Typically, 80 to 90% budgets get spent acquiring new customers. And therefore, that leaves only 10 to 20% on existing customers. And the reality is that more than half the money that is being spent on new acquisition is actually getting wasted. And that is denting their profitability. It's also not helping them grow sales faster. So as we think about the future of MarTech, and that's really the direction which Netcore is also headed in, it's about how is it that we can really solve two big challenges for brands beyond just retention, engagement, omni-channel personalization, etc. How can we measurably help brands grow their sales by, let's say, 10-20%. And then how can we help cut their marketing budgets, the waste part of it? You know, that's almost 30-50%. And if we can do both, then it will have a significant impact on their profitability, which they can then invest back into innovations in terms of the products that they get to market. So I think that is where I see the future of MarTech. I think it's going to be more ad tech style, where there will be a performance element which comes in. If you look at the early days of the internet, there was a shift from CPM, which is cost per thousand or cost per impression-based advertising, to cost per click, performance-based. And that really transformed the world of digital advertising, what would have otherwise been probably a few billion dollars has grown to hundreds of billions of dollars. I think that shift has to come in MarTech. We need to make MarTech companies more accountable for performance and companies which are able to do that with the products. So it's not a single product anymore. It's a full stack. It's the ability to use, like what Kalpit said earlier, use AI for showing the right message to the right customer at the right time, you know, the right product really, which will lead to a purchase. All of this now becomes very, very important rather than just sending out broadcast messages to tens of millions of people and hoping that someone will like something on the product. So I think this is a big shift. And I believe the future of MarTech is really to borrow ideas from the world of ad tech and shift and have encouraged marketers to shift budgets into MarTech, into existing customers. Because the best way really to build a business is to get your existing customers back for more and get them to get their friends and family. This is loyalty. This is referrals. It's not about keeping on spending on just filling up the pipe with new customers. So this is about, I think in the words of Fred Reichheld, it's about earned growth rather than acquisition-centric growth. I think if marketers can do that, they will become really the chief profitability officers of the company. And I think we all now know that profits is the most important word in building out a business, especially if that profit can become exponential and forever. You know, that's really what helps build a moat and monopoly in a business. And that's the direction for Netcore going forward.
Also, like to add one quick point. I think what MarTech also helps brands do is gather a lot of intelligence on their own consumers. Who are my best customers? What do they look like? You know, how are they behaving when they come onto my app or to my website? How often do they come? You know, what's my average order value and a lot of other things. I think with a lot of this intelligence which MarTech tools are able to gather, if we can now, you know, use that intelligence back into the ad tech world and actually help brands acquire customers which have similar personas or similar behaviors, or, you know, what's called as, you know, help me get my similar profile of best customers because the best customers give me the maximum profits. And I think this world of MarTech and ad tech also kind of, you know, coming very close to each other. We actually, and I think a lot of people in the industry call it MadTech, which is marketing ad tech, you know, where the two worlds are kind of coming closer to each other. You use the intelligence which you're building over here to acquire the next set of new customers who could be more profitable for you, I think is also kind of, you know, an area for us as a company. And I think companies like us to kind of continuously invest on.
Who would have thought marketing and profitability would be used in the same sentence? But here we are. So just a follow-on question, how do you see the North Star for marketers change? Because so much of it has been revolving around ROAS or, you know, efficiency of spends, but more so through the lens of how can you squeeze every single rupee to the maximum outcome versus improving cost structures of the way you spend money, right? Or where you spend money. So how do you see North Stars for marketers change, you know, given the future that you've laid out for marketing at large along with Netcore?
I think the North Star is going to be this metric called earned growth. So what earned growth is really about how your existing customers are delivering more growth. In the SaaS world, we call it NRR, you know, net revenue retention. So if I have my cohort of customers, what has been the growth in their spend with me as a brand previous 12 months versus this 12 months? So that's first. And the second parameter which comes in is referrals, because that is almost zero CAC, you know, zero cost of acquisition. So I think the direction in the future has to be towards more of earned growth. And I think what Kalpit also said a short while ago, that all of this really leads to how can I bring down the cost of new customer acquisition? Because that is the biggest pain point for brands today. It's like a mad race, but it's an expensive race because, I mean, you talk to a lot of marketers, they're seeing CAC go up 40, 50% a year and their revenues are not growing that fast. Their profitability is not growing that fast. And today, luckily, there are a lot of innovations, you know, like inbox commerce, like atomic rewards, velvet rope marketing, what Kalpit spoke about, identifying your best customers. All of these innovations can actually help brands improve on their earned growth, which I think can be transformative for them in their journey to profitability.
I think that's absolutely brilliant. And so many entrepreneurs tuning into this podcast can learn much more about, you know, all things MarTech, AdTech, and obviously Rajesh, your journey by buying your book, reading your blog, and of course, re-listening to this episode, because I have for sure learned a lot. So many, many thanks for being a part of this. I've learned a lot and I'm very grateful for your time.
Thank you so much to Rajesh Jain, founder and managing director of Netcore Cloud, and Kalpit Chen, their CEO, for joining us on Startup Dugout by Dell Technologies. If you're an entrepreneur that's forging your path with your dreams, Dell for Startups can help you in your digital journey and transformation. For more details, check out the links in the episode description.